You're listening to the Law of Attraction Radio Network.
In this world of turmoil, you're struggling to find energetic balance, and you panic because your spirituality is not where you desire it to be. Yet creating a powerful foundation of empowerment is what you know you can achieve. Hi, I am Martin Neil Campbell, author of the book Receiving the Gift We Give, which is available on Amazon eBooks and my website, receivingthegiftwegive.com. I invite you to uncover your power and greatly expand your energies by embracing your divine self.
Sovereign Self is about individual empowerment and freedom. In exploring this sovereign self, our discussions will encompass self-love, oneness, and diverse spiritual understandings, as life is a journey of expansion which never ends. Join author Martin Neil Campbell, trainer and business facilitator Karen Murphy, and spiritual archaeologist Ron Mayer as their discussions help lead their listeners into an ever-expanding journey of peace, love, joy, and freedom to become who you desire and be your sovereign self.
Welcome to Sovereign Self. I am your host, Martin Neil Campbell, and your two fabulously divine and absolutely wondrous co-hosts are Ron Mayer and Karen Murphy. So, welcome, guys.
Welcome.
Once again.
Welcome.
Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. It's great to have you here again.
And for this program, the title of it is Overcoming Stress and Negativity.
As we have been saying for the past few weeks, we are in a time where we and the Earth are being bombarded by large amounts of energy. Mm-hmm. And this energy, if used to our benefit, will help us both individually and collectively. So we always have to remember there's a positive side to it. However, these high energies create stress on our physical as well as our energetic bodies. And as this is felt by, I'm saying virtually everyone on the planet, because that's a big assumption, but I'll say it, it is inevitable that we will be subject to and witness the stress of others in our day-to-day lives. Add this to our own increased stresses, and it becomes easy to understand how difficult some moments can become for each of us. And tonight, though, we shall be reminding you, our listeners, that there are many methods that can be utilized to help balance ourselves and reduce not only our volatility, but the volatility of those around us. If you are finding these days more mentally, emotionally, and physically challenging, we recommend utilizing any three of the items we shall be discussing tonight. At the end, we'll try and run through them quickly so you can pick the three and write them down. It should be mentioned that not all methods will work for you. Please use your intuitive self to determine which method, or methods, three of them, that would work best for you. Our stresses and energy blockages are uniquely our own, and no two of us are exactly alike. But trust your gut feeling as to which method appeals to you. If you do this, it will work for you. And as always, we send you our love and healing energy to use as and when you wish, or not at all. The choice is always yours. Tonight we're talking about overcoming the stresses and things in our lives and negativity at the moment because of all the energies coming through. As people go through these stresses and hit stress because of this, not only do you have it when you come across someone that's in an equally, let's say, not good mood at the moment, things can cause fireworks. So there are methods, though, that can be used to help you get through these things. And most of them we have listed or talked about in previous programs, all 108 of them. I made a list, and we probably won't get to all of them, and I'm sure Karen and Ron have more, but I had a list of 39 alone that we've talked about at some point in the program. So there are easily three you can pick that should work for you. As I said, just go with those that intuitively feel right and you feel comfortable with. So with that, I'm going to kick off with one that Ron first brought up. Sorry, Ron, I'm going to steal your thunder on this one.
Okay, go ahead.
It is blessings. And it's interesting that when you, and I'll do it this way, when you start off your day, bless yourself and bless your day. Just say thank you and blessings on this whole day. And that is a good way to start the day. But as you move out through the day, quietly in your mind, bless people as you pass them. Bless people in seeing who they are, feeling who they are, and everyone about you, because we're all one. And blessings on people as you go out throughout your day. It's amazing how the energies can shift within you and help you through the day when you do that. And it applies to everything, too. You can bless a nice flower you see. You can bless a cat, a dog, whatever. But generally, as you said, Ron, when you go throughout the day and bless people who you pass, it leaves you with a wonderful feeling. And that's my first one I'm going to throw out, and it's very simple. So thank you for that, Ron, because I use it now all the time, thanks to you. That's my first throw out. So anyone else want to jump in with one?
Well, I don't know about anybody else, but this particular week, the energies for me have been coming in so thick and so powerful that I'm feeling like I'm 100 years old right now. The aches and the pains of what I've been going through are phenomenal. And you know, Martin, Karen, I used to be an aerobics instructor at work, and this was at least about 15 years ago when I was doing this. It was very good for me for physical exertion. It got my heart rate up. It kept my, you know, my weight down. It was very beneficial for me. Then I ended up twisting my knee at one point, and it put me out of business with regards to teaching aerobics for about 3 or 4 months. And so effectively, I basically stopped doing this. And this must have been about like 4 years ago. Well, I haven't been doing much in the way of physical exercise these days. And I am noticing that whenever we do get these surges of increased frequencies coming in, that my physical body has a tendency to go into almost like a lockdown stage where I feel the aches and pains, especially in the lower extremities, in the tailbone, in the with the kundalini, even in the backs, in the legs, for instance, and then in the small of the back, and even up into the shoulders. There was a time where even my left shoulder was out completely. So this lack of physical exertion and paying attention to the altar that my physical body truly represents has had its consequences. So as I said, this week I've been feeling extremely, extremely old feeling, where everything was creaking and everything was in pain and I was in complete discomfort. And that's when I began to realize that one of the things that Ashiana Dean mentions in her teachings, in the Freedom Teachings, is a particular form of yoga that the guardians have brought through Ashiana Dean. I believe it is called LOGOS, which is the frequency breathing movements modality. Now, yoga in particular, there are many, many, many types of yoga out there. But from my understanding about what yoga does is that through these gentle stretching movements and positions that you end up putting yourself into, depending on if you're using hatha yoga or any of the other types of yoga, the positions, what they end up doing is they begin to exercise the meridian axiatonal lines of the physical body. Once you begin to exercise and stretch those, it's like a muscle. If you stretch it, it becomes stronger. These meridian lines oftentimes get blocked. And so the energy has a tendency, and right now with all of the energies coming in, if the energy systems in the body, the particular axiatonal lines and the meridians of the body are not functioning properly, then there can be massive congestions of these energies held within the body. The body needs to allow the free flow of these energy frequencies to go through it for there to be no impediments possible in order to enhance and bring out more of your conscious awareness. So I'm looking at this and going, well, you know, yoga, I'm going to be doing the particular type of yoga that Ashiana Dean recommends. But for those of you out there, those listeners who don't have the teachings on this from the Freedom Teachings, just going and researching and doing a little bit of research with regards to yoga and start doing some of the postures that they're offering can begin to allow exercising of the axiatonal lines and the meridians of the body. Once you open those up, the energy in the body begins to flow more freely. And hopefully this week when I start doing this again, I will feel much better.
Excellent.
Awesome.
Karen.
Oh, my goodness. I've got a gazillion ideas running through my head.
Just give half
a gazillion?
Yeah.
First and foremost, I think the blessings is a wonderful one, as is exercise. And one of the things I did today, I'm going through lots of really wonderful, wonderful, exciting changes. But that does come with some stress, not some, lots, read Mega, Lots of Stress. And one of the things I did today is, as all of our listeners know and you two gentlemen know, I'm very fond of Mother Nature and the trees and the plants and the ground. Someone suggested to me, why don't you just go out front and stand on the ground and feel that energy? And Ron, I'm not sure if it's similar to the yoga and the alignment that you were speaking of, mm-hmm. but I found it very interesting that when I stood on the front ground and I had my feet firmly planted, but gently planted on the grass in my front yard, and I just set that intention of just feeling that Mother Earth energy flow through and back through. And it was the most interesting feeling of, I want to say grounding, but almost a bit of a soft pulsing. That I felt, I guess it was very comforting, but someone had said to me that when you do that, it also aligns your spine in some way. And I'm not sure I understand the whole physiology of it, but I actually had this feeling in my lower back that just felt this, that feels good. And which is rather odd for standing flat-footed on the ground. So I guess what comes to mind for me is that thought of getting out in, at least for those that feel that connection to Mother Nature, is go out there, put your feet out. We're in Canada, so we don't have snow on the ground yet. So do it while you can. Do it while you can.
Mm-hmm. That wonderful example of this unity or the synchronicity of being with the planet. Nashana Deen calls it the bioplanetary interface system. There is indeed a very strong connection between you and the planet. Good that my understanding, it's very good that you're going out there and putting your actual feet against Mother Earth. A lot of people will wear certain shoes, for instance, that may not be made of a natural material like plastics, for instance, which has a tendency to kind of block the exchange between you and the planet. This is one of the things that Grandmother Parashar had taught us about putting your heart chakra to the earth, especially if you're feeling grieved or if you're feeling very emotional and you're processing something, that you can make it easier for you by putting your heart to the planet and having that exchange with the planet, that frequency exchange. So I used to often think, well, why would the planet want all my garbage and my, you know, and she's there to purify the energies. She's there to exchange the energies, and she's far more intelligent than we give her credit for. So give whatever ailments and problems to the Earth Mother through your heart chakra by laying down on the earth, using even your palm chakras, making sure your palms are also, you know, facing the earth. So it's amazing what kind of rejuvenation can actually occur just by that act alone. So I'm glad you're doing that.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
That's good.
It always works well. Well, mm-hmm. I can't say it works well for everyone, but it works well for me as well. Excellent. The one I want to bring in at this point is that I've heard it from a lot of people saying they're more sleepy. They want to sleep more. They want to sleep longer and relax. The two go together with all the stress and everything that's going on and the energies coming through. Sleep does more than we give it credit for. Sleep is our way of re-energizing our soul in a sense. And sleep is really about your soul moving away from all the things that are going on down in the physical world and actually going out and energizing itself, at least in part. Sleeping more, sleeping well, don't be afraid to do that. Take more time to relax, because the more you can relax, the more you can begin moving away from the stress. We're such a rushed world, and have to do this, have to do that, have to do this. If you're getting stressed out over it all, it will do no good. As a matter of fact, it will cause all sorts of problems. So get some more sleep and relax a bit more, and do it until you feel you can go back to whatever full schedule you want to. But if it is stressing you out at the moment, there are two things that can really help move you along.
Mm-hmm. I've been doing an awful lot of sleeping myself this past week, which was an indication, again, the energies are coming through fast and furious at this point. And sleeping also has a tendency, when you're away from the body has a chance to recuperate and regenerate far easier and far quicker, because mm-hmm. it's not dealing with your conscious awareness constantly requiring it be attention to your focus of awareness when you're focused in this physicality. So when you're asleep, you actually remove yourself from the physical body and you allow your physical body to rejuvenate naturally. So if it's undergoing through a lot of stress, then it makes sense that sleep might be an antidote to assist in your body's recuperation methods.
Yes, because stress in your body, when you're awake and you're under stress, you're pumping adrenaline and shutting down your immune system. And you're pumping all sorts of hormones and chemicals into your body because you're under stress.
Right.
And sleep lets your body move away from all that pounding of chemicals and hormones. So it is a perfect method to move along. One of the things about relaxing is that people go, I don't have time to sit around.
Oh, yeah.
The one thing I'd say about that is I hope that there's a couple of things you can do that would still relax you. And one is listening to music. Mm-hmm. And most people like some music. And I mean music that picks you up and makes you joyous, not music that gets you tense. So anything that picks you up and makes you joyous in music, you should listen to. That will help you relax.
You know, Martin, that's a great comment because I'm a lover of all different kinds of music. And I could say that there are some times when I love to hear music that if I'm cleaning the house, I want to put on these bouncy music that makes me want to dance and sing while I'm cleaning the house.
Perfect.
That's a really good feeling. There's also times when I just want to feel very surreal. And I think that oftentimes there are many cultures that put a lot of emphasis on ceremony of things. It doesn't necessarily have to be religious or anything like that, but just they honor certain things in some way. And for me, one of the things that I like to do, and I don't do it ritualistically, but that is to turn on, there's this awesome channel that gives this gorgeous spa music. And I don't know if it works for anybody else, but I got to tell you that when I'm stressed out and I'm feeling a little bit low on the whole mojo and everything, I think, oh, you know what? Just take those cinnamon sticks and burn some cinnamon sticks, boil them in water and have that resonate through the house. A little bit of spa music going on. Some people love bubble baths. I'm not a bubble bath kind of girl, but just to sit down and relax, put my feet up, listen to spa music. So whatever that is that makes you relax. And Martin, I love your idea of music. It might, for some people, it might be, oh, it makes you sing. It makes you snap your fingers. It might make you dance. I know that works for me. Or for some, it's the exact opposite. It's just that mellow. So whatever works for you, but there's so many tools out there.
Mm-hmm. And for me, the music is also an extremely important aspect of my personal awakening process. I've always loved music, but it's always been contemporary music. And I remember at one point when I ended up, somebody gave me an album. It was Vivaldi's Four Seasons by the Toulouse-Lautrec Symphony. It was an old version, but it was probably one of the best versions that was out there. The moment that I listened to this, it opened up a doorway in me that I just, it was insatiable. For about 5 years after that, I had to get everything Baroque. And it was interesting. At another point, it was like, well, there's still something missing. And this is when I discovered Celtic music and ancient music. So yes, everybody's taste in music.
There's a variety,
Everybody's is going to be different. But for me, it was always, what is soul stirring for me? That when I listen to a piece of music, it lifts me up. I'm telling you, there are times when it's almost like I enter a samadhi state of ecstasy when I hear certain music. For me, it was Handel's Concerto Grosse, Opus Number 6. Mm-hmm. And to this day, I still listen to that. I'm needing to feel energized and lifted. So music, yes, also played an extremely important function in keeping my frequencies elevated.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Very, for sure.
I think another thing that comes to mind, and we think about this with pregnant women, they talk about when women are just about ready to deliver, they'll often say they'll go on this big cleaning binge. I don't know whether it's true or not, but there's a lot of mindfulness around certain types of housework. Besides, we look at it as, oh gosh, there's those dust bunnies, I got to get rid of them. And it's very frustrating. But sometimes it's a chore that we all have to do, whether we live in a house, an apartment, a condo, wherever. It might be an opportunity to take a look at some of those things that we have to do and think, how can we do them more mindfully? And that might be just do some breathing while you're doing that work, whether it be vacuuming, washing floors, doing dishes, dusting, something that is keeping you active but keeps you mindful too. So there's so many things out there. It's just, as Martin said at the beginning or at the top of the show, any three, if you practice any three on a regular basis, those that resonate with you, you will work through those energies.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it's sad to say this, but if you're like me and you prefer to hire a maid.
That works too.
That works too. Watch movies. I love watching movies, but not those that get you stressed. And they're saying a lot about that recently, is that if you watch a lot of movies that are very stressful and have you hanging on the edge of your seat, you're just adding to your stress. Mm-hmm. So watch movies that relax you. Watch movies that get your imagination going. And certainly watch movies that don't get you so stressed.
Exactly.
No, or movies, or watch the movies that actually lead you into thinking negative thoughts constantly, or fearful thoughts.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Go ahead. No, go ahead, Martin.
I was going to say the same thing applies to books. If you're reading a book, don't read one that is a horror book that has you on the edge of your seat and you're frightened to death. Read a good book for escape, not one that's full of bad news or horrible events. The same applies to movies and books. If you want to get rid of stress and relax, it's another way to do it.
All of these activities should be increasing your frequency and your love potential. So if you're finding any kind of an activity that is not doing that directly and giving you a distorted feeling of satisfaction that might be based on revenge or hate or anything, you may want to double think this over again. We're not saying don't do it, but we're saying be aware that everything has consequences, and it might be a little harder to get yourself out of some of these situations unless you don't start them in the first place, type of thing.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with doing any of those, but the point here is, I think, as you said, Ron, if you're in a stressful moment and your week's been very stressful, it makes no sense to add things on that just get you more stressed, even if it's in a different way. It's still stress. That's what you should avoid at those points and move to something else. In weeks where you're not having stress and you're free, happy, go lucky, by all means. But if you're stressed, don't add to it.
No, absolutely, Martin. It's funny because we've talked in past shows about certain types of meditation and things like that. And I think, wow, when I'm really stressed or when I'm really busy or really down to the crunch of things, I'm thinking, I don't have 30 minutes to meditate. Seriously. And I guess, you know, as probably both of you know, I'm a huge David G fan. There is a meditation that I've taken that he offered up. One of his, it's a 16-second meditation that I absolutely adore. And you breathe in through your nose on the count of four, and you breathe it through to the count of four. You hold it in your belly to the count of four. You release it up to the count of four, and you watch it as it goes out into the ether to the count of four. 16 seconds. And I got to tell you that there are times that for me, because I don't always, and I know that there are people that will say, if you meditate, you will find the time, and you should find the time, and I absolutely believe that. But I also find that in very, very stressful times, I'm not sure I can focus for 30 minutes or even 10, truth be told, or even 5. So I've been practicing this David G's method of 16 seconds. And whether I do it once, twice, or three times, whether I do it when I'm walking, whether I'm doing dishes or whatever, I'm thinking, wow, that is 16 seconds of space. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, it makes a difference.
The whole idea behind meditation is to get you from looking outward to getting you looking inward.
Inward, yeah. Mm.
Inward is where you need to focus if you're wanting to reach those meditative states that bring on samadhi and these states of ecstasy. Where anything that can allow you to look inwards as opposed to outward will be very effective.
Yes, indeed. It's interesting when we're talking about methods to remove, you know, stress and negativity and all the things that people are going through at the moment for many reasons and thousands of different reasons. There's a few physical ones, which I've always liked because they are physical. Now, the one we've mentioned a lot, actually, are giving more hugs and smiling. They can do an instant change.
Yes.
And we've talked about those a lot. But there's two others that I want to bring in. I'll bring them in, but I think, Ron, you will probably have better comments on these because you know more about it than I do. Certainly on essential oils, And the other one, which I do regularly, but you also know a lot about, and Karen as well, because you were mentioning the cinnamon and whatnot, is smudging and incense. I think that people are not always aware of how important smudging and essential oils and that type of thing can be. From myself, smudging, whether it's sweetgrass or cedar or what have you, I find it always the smells just, they do clear out certain energies. And they do make me feel entirely different, as smells can do probably more than anything else. It's amazing how a smell of something can remind you of so many memories and so many good things. And I must say that burning cedar does that for me.
Martin, it's ironic that you would mention that and or not. Mm. I just saged my entire house today.
Well, there you go. I did sweetgrass. Yeah.
Oh, so there you go.
There's a lot to be said for scents and how it actually affects the entire physical body. They're just beginning to understand this more with essential oils, the power that essential oils have, which has something to do with activating receptors in the brain, the neuron receptors in the brain, and the limbic brain in particular, especially the hypothalamus. So there's a lot of stuff that is now being researched and is coming forward with the ability to smell and what actually the smell facility can actually do to increase your health. So there's a lot of research out there, people, with regards to that. I remember the first time I was introduced to the burning of cedar and sage as a tool for balancing the masculine and feminine energies within a room. And in particular, it was the smell of burning sage. And the first time I smelled that, it hit me like a ton of bricks. And I swear, there was a landslide of reincarnational imagery that came crashing through my awareness. It had a lot to do with my grandmother, who up until then really didn't even have any place within my life. I really saw her, and she wasn't really part of my growing up. But the smelling of sage was just a tremendous awakener when it came to memories and that type of thing. So I just, yes, using the sacred herbs of cedar and sage, the sage being the feminine and the cedar being the masculine, has a tendency to balance the energies in a room. It doesn't eliminate one over the other. This is not what you would want to do with the in a situation. You always need a healthy balance of both energies to be wholesome. And this is what the burning of cedar and sage does, as well as it can be used in many things. Adding, for instance, copal to your mixture can assist as a cleansing agent, purifying extremely negative energies that are coming in. So there's a lot of other methods and suggestions that you can use. You just have to go in and on the net and find them.
Ronald, was that, sorry, that was copal?
Copal is one of them, yes. Copal was something that has been used in ceremony, along with burning of cedar and sage. The idea is to begin to experiment, especially with essential oils, which is something that I'm starting to do now. I just love some of the imagery that ends up being triggered. And you can, in many cases, essential oils are good to take internally. I have to say at this point, though, that they are not to be used to prescribe or to be healing of anything. This is not something that they are acceptable tools for healing. So they're just a suggested, essential oils are simply being suggested as something that you can experiment and look into. But definitely there is something there.
But there is, for instance, certain essential oils, like a lot of the skin creams we use and stuff we use on our skin have, well, they do, but they have all sorts of chemicals in them as well that aren't good for you. And essential oils, if you get good essential oils, that if you study and know what they can do for your skin and how they can help you, they don't have any of that other chemical garbage that a lot of the manufacturers won't have in it.
Right.
And they work probably better than them in keeping your skin healthy and moist, etc. So there are things to look up from that end, too, that can keep you even healthier.
Good point, Martin. When you're looking for the market for essential oils, because there are literally hundreds and hundreds of brands out there, folks, many of which do contain additives, make sure that when you're looking for something, you're looking for therapeutic-grade essential oils. This will ensure that the oils that you're getting are the purest oils that are out there on the market. So that,
do your research.
Do your research. Yes, absolutely. Do your research, because there is a lot of essential oils out there. Just because it's cheap does not necessarily make it good quality.
Exactly. On getting rid of negativity and stress and whatnot, there's so many, so many. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. The one that sort of fits in with what we were just talking about, and I've only used them on occasion for certain things, and I must admit I'm not an expert on them by any means, and that's crystals. And you hear a lot about how crystals and their certain frequencies can help you. And I've known too many people that I trust and too well that use them to their advantage that I won't overlook them in mentioning. I don't always find I like them as much, but this is where you have to trust your intuition and go with what works for you. And some people find great benefit from them, and I do from a few, but generally not. But that's just me. I know someone else who uses them a lot, and they swear by them. So that's perfect. That's the way it should be. So that's just another piece I wanted to throw in, because if we're talking about physical things you can have.
And I think that's a great point to make, Martin, and that is that all of these techniques and tools and concepts, they are very personalized. Everyone, whilst there's a lot of invigorating energy going on, the tools that we employ are very, very personalized. So it's not like a one-size-fits-all. Mm. So if someone finds something that works for them, it works for them. It might be sitting in the corner just sitting. It could be reading a book. It could be whatever. It could be walking. It could be standing in Mother Earth. It is a very personal thing. But I love what you said, Martin, about go with your intuition. And if it feels right, and you will know if it feels right, and if it feels calming, then go with it. Then you know you're on the right track. And the other things is, as Ron and you and I have been talking about, that people need to be careful of is just basic things like exercise, good nutrition, proper sleep, good hydration, all of those basic health things, but all of the other tools people need to find. And our job here is to talk about all the different types of things that we can think of that work for us. Some that work for one don't work for another. So it's really finding out what really feels good for you and run with it.
Good point. Good point. Now, I wanted to add a little bit about the crystals, Martin, that you brought in. The concept of why crystals apparently work, as I introduced earlier on in the show, there is what's called the BioPhase Internet system, the planetary system. It's a system whereby you are directly connected to the planet. The planet itself, of course, has the mineral kingdom. So what essentially crystals are the mineral kingdom itself at its highest potential spiritual evolution. And of course, crystals also vibrate at a particular frequency. And because we are of the earth itself, we will more than likely find many of our organs, for instance, will actually vibrate at a particular crystal level. That's the whole concept of, for instance, using gem elixirs, where you will find a particular gemstone that has a particular frequency that will affect something within your physical body. So it's almost like trying to find a template by which you can actually assist in the repair of a certain organ within the physical body. An organ might be vastly unhealthy. It might be holding a lot of impurities or whatever. Using a particular gem elixir will assist in trying to get your organ that has been compromised to vibrate at the frequency that is the crystalline frequency of the crystal, to try to get it to match sympathetically with the crystal in order to assist in purifying the organ in question. Now, crystals and gem elixirs have a tendency to work very well with the physical body, whereas flower essences, and it's the same principle that gem elixirs are based on, but flower essences, where you're using particular flowers and their essence in order to ingest them, work on consciousness levels. So crystals work on the physical. Flower essence have a tendency to work on the consciousness level. And these, as Martin had said, these are all very subtle forms. So if you're looking for a quick fix where you're slammed, this is really working, you might not get that with some of these modalities that we're suggesting tonight, because they have a tendency to work on the subtle anatomy of the physical body, in which you immediately.
Yeah. And the one thing I wanted to mention is not to contradict you, Ron, sorry, but there are a couple of exceptions. One crystal, shungite, is only found in a certain part of Russia, and it is actually the remnants of the first algae and bacteria on Earth, layered and crystallized. It's 98% pure carbon, but the carbon is unique in that it's the only known form where the crystals are in sphere shape, so they're circular.
Very interesting.
It is specifically good for working with your energy body. Now, that's just as an aside. Only because I have.
And as I said, in some instances, you might resonate very strongly with something and you might want to pick it up and use it. And it may very well have a tremendous impact on you. As what Karen was saying earlier on, any of these might be very impactful for you. And then again, mm-hmm. it might leave you feeling particularly lackluster and as if it's not particularly working. Find something that works for you. So explore, be willing to explore some of these modalities.
Trust your intuition.
Yes.
You know, if anything we're mentioning tonight, if you haven't heard of it before, but you go, oh, that sounds interesting. Trust that. That sounds interesting. That little tweak of, oh, is your intuition telling you to look at it further? And, you know, that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think that's an important point to make, Martin, because no matter what modality you take, there's nothing in this world, in this life, that is instantaneous. It happens as it happens. And it's, I guess the best way to put it is if you're thinking that, you know, holding a crystal is going to change your world in 30 seconds, that's not the way it works. I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. All of what we're talking about takes persistence.
Right.
But if you are persistent and constant at it, and it doesn't have to be every minute of every day, but if you are persistent at it and work at something day after day, or if three of these as we suggest, and don't let it, but just work with them, you will find that after a while it just keeps improving things. And I also find that after a while you may get sort of, okay, that's done what it can do. What else can I move to? And you'll move on to something else. So you begin adding layers. And it doesn't mean you won't ever go back to the other one, but sometimes you want to switch to something new and it just seems to bring you up that next step.
And Martin, I actually think that means you're expanding. You're becoming more aware. And of course, there are some staples. And of course, for our listeners, and I hope none of our listeners are going, oh gosh, is she going to say that again? Yes, I am. I'm going to say the gratitude word.
Yes. Excellent. I left it purposely.
Staple.
I knew you'd bring it up.
A staple. You know what? Without gratitude, we don't get a chance to move forward. There's gratitude for all that is, all that will be, and all that has already manifested that you're not aware of.
Mm-hmm. The more you're in a state of gratitude, the less you can be in a state of fear.
Yes.
Exactly.
In a state of gratitude, give gratitude for yourself as well. I'll bring in the love aspect and say love yourself and give gratitude for who you are and everything you are. We've been talking about things to overcome stress and negativity and just downward energy plunges that you may experience every once in a while. Indulge me here for a second. We've talked about blessings, hugs, smiling, gratitude, loving yourself, meditation, yoga, smudging, eating better, hydration, trust your intuition, grounding, getting out in nature, sleeping better, well, longer, relaxing more through music, reading a book, watching movies that don't get you stressed, essential oils, doing housework and how that can help you while you're doing all of that, and something about crystals as well. That's a fair list, but just to throw these out in no particular order per se, is we also have acts of kindness, caring about others, paying it forward is another one, charities and volunteer work, understanding other people, listening to them, not just yabbering, unity, kind words, compliments, praising another, prayer, ask the universe for help, come from your center of love. An interesting question you can bring up to yourself is, what would God do? Speak your truth. See beauty all around you, whether it's your children in flowers, clouds, pets, whatever. Go for a massage. Get some Reiki work done. There's also the whole end of the tapping and EFT work. There's so many things that are out there that, if they resonate with you, can help you so much. And we're only saying, try any three. So that's sort of my summary, if I can put it that way, on what we've been talking about. Doesn't mean we can't talk about some of them some more, but I just wanted to throw that out before we got to the end of the program to let people know there is so much so you can do, and so much of it is so easy that don't be intimidated by it. Just trust your intuition and go with it.
Beautiful, Martin. That's absolutely beautiful. If I can add my 2 cents worth, then I'll let Ronnie Baby get in there. And that is, let us know. We love our Facebook community, the folks on our Facebook page. We love the way you guys engage with us. We read your comments all the time. Let us know if anything we've said tonight if you're going to try some of these new techniques or these new tools, let us know how they're working for you. Or even moreover than that is maybe you've got some tools that we have not yet talked about. Please share them with us and share them with our other Facebook community people. We'd love to hear from you. So thank you very much.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Just as a short reminder, it's Facebook.com/sovereignself and you're in there. So go ahead, Ron.
There was the two that we sort of briefly mentioned tonight, but and that was eating better. I know that whenever I'm stressed out, the less meat I have a tendency to eat, the better I will feel. I notice yes. that when I do eat meat, I have a tendency, the body needs a tremendous amount of energy to digest that. And so when I'm feeling overly anxious or whatever, the more I go to live foods like fresh vegetables and that type of thing, the easier I am and the more awake I am and the more present that I am.
You're right.
And as well as pets. If it wasn't for Mocha, Karen, I'm sure that there would be an empty hole in your life. And it's the same thing with me with my pet, Charlie. It's amazing what extending love to this pet does for me. And just recently, they've introduced bringing pets in, for instance, in the prisons. And what this is being doing for the prisoners themselves is simply amazing. Just amazing. So love a pet.
Yes. And they've done the same in retirement mm-hmm. homes. And it perks yes. everyone up amazingly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love the whole meat thing because I've had that issue.
Because if you're under stress and you're using an awful lot of energy when you eat meat, how often do you feel like you need to have a nap half an hour after you've eaten?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's telling you your body is needing this energy just to digest what you've put in, let alone trying to do what you're trying to do in your awake state while you're in the body. Right. So you may want to rethink that. It's not yeah. saying to throw meat out forever.
No,
if you love meat, then every once in a while it'd be nice for it. But you made yourself a lot more alive if you eat a lot more yeah. fresh and raw vegetables.
And it fits perfectly in with the stress because when you're stressed, one of the things that your body takes away energy from is your digestive system.
Exactly.
And if you're under stress and eat meat, which takes a lot of energy to digest, you're not even mm-hmm. digesting it fully. And that no, causes you its own internal problems. So it all becomes one big circle. So yeah, under stress, right. move it back some. Have a couple of ounces if you have to have it rather than 12. You know, a exactly. beef or whatever.
And less during the sittings. A lot of times people will eat huge amounts of food where you might want to break it up into 5 smaller meals during the day. And keep your metabolism going where it doesn't have a chance to shut down between meals.
One of the things about stress and relieving stress that I always find is good is humor. And on that note, I did get sent a joke that I thought would work because it was all
Oh, here
stress.
We go, Garrett.
I never tell a joke on this program, but I'm
No, you to. Don't.
Right. Well, this is what the joke said. It said, I'm passing this on because it worked for me today. A doctor on TV said that in order to have inner peace in our lives during these stressful times, we should always finish things that we start. Since we could all use more calm in our lives, I looked around my house to find things I'd started and hadn't finished. I made a list of them as I finished each one and moved along. So, I finished a bottle of Merlot. I finished a bottle of Chardonnay. Then I finished a bottle of Bailey's, a bottle of Wum, the remainder of the Valium subscription things, bottle of chocolates. Yeah, has no idea how fabulous I feel right now. Schnitt this with all your friends and tell them you love them. And that's the joke. So
I feel pretty stress-free right now, Martin,
there, there
and you've
go.
Also engaged a new one of laughter. Both Ron and I were holding back so that we didn't interrupt you. That was beautiful.
So, yes, we don't recommend drinking and Valium and all the rest of it to get rid of stress, but the humor is the good part.
Laughter.
Laughter, yes. So I thought that was fitting for getting yeah. rid of stress.
You know, and it is interesting that with humor comes a level of acceptance, self-acceptance that is really because normally a lot of the stresses that we have in life is usually because we try to be perfect in everything that we do. We don't often allow ourselves to simply not be perfect. It's okay not to be perfect every moment of the day. So when you give yourself that allowance to not having to be perfect, then
there's a certain degree of stress that will actually just simply vanish with regards to that. So don't always expect yourself to be perfect and on target all the time.
No, that's true. Now, one thing, and I know we said it before, but our own Karen, hi Karen.
Hey Martin.
Is the queen of gratitude. And I don't know whether you're going to add it in now, but I just had a feeling you'd be throwing in gratitude at some point. So I thought I'd spur you on to mention it once again, because it is so important.
Well, thank you, Martin, and thank you for that introduction. You know, I am very, very fortunate to have so many things in my life to be grateful for, and I'm not the only one. So for our listeners, I find that what I do is throughout the day, I take a moment and I stop and I give thanks. And not just for the big things, but for the little things. And I like to start my day off with gratitude. I feel it gives me a boost to get my day started. And it often goes something like giving thanks for today and the opportunity to move to my higher self. I also like to give thanks for all of my experiences, because I truly believe that they've led me to exactly where I am, which is exactly where I'm meant to be. And then throughout the day, I like to give thanks for big things and little things. It might be, you know, I'm very thankful to have a car to get to work today. Or I'm very thankful for that smile that I just received from someone. Or I'm very thankful for even giving thanks to my body, my legs to be able to walk, my heart to be able to love, my voice to be able to speak. All of those kinds of things build into gratitude. You don't have to wait for that really big, oh, I'm so thankful for that awesome gift or that awesome present or that awesome vacation. It can be little things throughout your day too. I know what I've done in the past is oftentimes I keep a piece of paper beside my bed, on my bed table, and I'll write down things either in the morning or in the evenings, or I have in the past, where I'm thankful for. And just thinking back to how your day went, to give thanks for all those wonderful things, and we actually will see how truly blessed we really are.
Oh, that's so true. And I seem to be hauling you both in here, but I got one for you, Ron, that I know you're done before. You've taught it before, and you've done it many times, and that's breath therapy, breathing.
Oh, yes, very, very, very important. People are in a stressful state or you know, you're at work and you find yourself being stressed out over something. If you can give yourself about 5 minutes, that's probably all it's going to take. But the idea would be to give yourself 5 minutes where you're away from a stressful situation. So if you can't do it immediately, you might want to do this, for instance, when you're at lunch or something. But the idea would be to get yourself comfortable, loosen, you know, for men, if they've got a tie that's really tight, loosen that. The idea being that you're trying to get yourself as physically comfortable as possible. Then what you're going to be doing is what I simply call conscious breathing. And this is a gentle and full breathing where you will breathe in through the mouth. And if you can, you can do it on a count of five. And then you can hold that breath for another count of five, and then out through the nose on a count of five. Now, if you could do this, and it's all you're doing is just simply being aware of breathing in, holding it for a bit, and then allowing it to come out. And at first, when you're starting this, stress has a tendency to cause uneven breathing in the first place. So you might find it a little bit difficult at first, because the stress levels might be interfering with your ability to calm yourself down or to find your center when you're breathing. But I usually tell people, if you continue doing this breathing technique until you actually do find yourself becoming calm and more receptive. And that usually, for me, that usually takes about 3 to 5 minutes. And that again is just simply deep breathing. Don't just fill in the top half of your chest with air. You want to extend the breath all the way down into the belly, so that you're bringing in as much air as possible into your entire system. This alone has a tendency to bring down stress levels in an amazing way.
Oh, yeah. As you say, like you said it before, there's many different ways to do it. And so feel free, of course, to go online and look up the dozens of different ways you can de-stress through breathing. The other good one, which sort of fits with that, I guess, breathing in sunshine. I have a friend, actually, who when it's a sunny day, they always get out every one of those sunny days and sit in the sunshine for a while. They say it relieves a lot of their stress, just sitting and relaxing in the warmth of the sun. And, you know, I know a lot of people are afraid of the sun, but you're not going to be sitting out there for 4 hours. Just go out and sit for 5-10 minutes in the sun, and you'll be amazed. At, you can shut your eyes and breathe at the same time, just relax. And it's amazing how much the sun can get rid of the stress within you. Not only the warmth of it, but the energy of it and what's coming through from the energy of the sun will help get rid of
it. I completely agree with that, Martin. That often works for me as well.
Mm-hmm. It's a good and simple one. Of course, if you're on a cloudy day in a miserable mood, it might not work too well. But if you hit sunny days, get out into it. It's always good.
Mm-hmm. And with stress also, there's also certain levels of fear that could be present. So if you're in a stressful moment, there could be fear that, as I said earlier, fear that you're not perfect or fear that you might not complete something in time. Address the fear. Maybe your fear is unreasonable with regards to trying to accomplish something within a short period of time. And if you can address the fear itself will actually reduce the stress levels if you're being honest about addressing the fear and perhaps simply choosing a different outcome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if the situation merits it, just looking at what the fear is, sometimes you'll realize, well, that's kind of crazy. Why am I fearing that? And then the moment you recognize that the fear is false evidence appearing real, as we like to often call fear on our program, once you realize that it might not be as tangible or as real, the stress levels will respond and you should feel a reduction in stress as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Fear and worries, they're non-productive by all counts.
And a lot of times we won't face the actual judgment or the fear that's behind it as a means of reducing the stress. Because again, we're trying to be oh so perfect and we're trying to get everything done. And well, what if you don't get everything done? Who's going to point a finger? And if someone is going to be pointing a finger, perhaps even talking to them about, you know, where you're at and the fact that you might not be able to meet this deadline or whatever the situation might be. Talking with people or talking with the person that you believe is at cause with regards to your stress can also reduce and in many cases eliminate that stress.
For sure. Another good one for stress, and I think Karen, you brought it up before the program, was friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you'll have something to add to it, but I just wanted to say about friends. I think we all know and have experience with good friends that they're also good listeners and that you can always talk through what you're stressed about and what's bothering you. And they'll either feed you good advice or just listen, which usually quite often you come to your own conclusions that it's once you've talked it through that it's not as big as you thought it was. But friends are very good for multiple reasons. Do you want to add some to that, Karen?
Yeah, I agree, Martin. I think one of the things that comes to mind for me, and it happened recently for me, is that I had a morning where a lot of things that I was working on were just not working out. And the more they were not working out, the more I could feel my stress levels rising and rising. And over the period of the day, I just seemed to get myself in that funk where, because something started to go wrong, I'm now catapulting into multiple things are going wrong. And I found myself after several hours still seeing that trend, but almost getting to the point where I'm feeling really frustrated. And yet a little part of me is laughing inside thinking, really, what else could happen today? But when I get into those situations of really high stress and things kind of building up, I find I become very reclusive and I don't want to spread what is now turned into stress that I've allowed turned into being grumpiness and being in a foul mood. I don't want to burden other people with that. So oftentimes in the past, I would not answer the phone or not reach out to people. And I find that for me, that's exactly the wrong thing to do. For me, I find that if I get to that situation, I should be more welcoming, even though it doesn't feel good at the moment. I actually tried this the other day, and I knew I was in not such a great mood, and I actually invited someone over and said, you know what, I'm really lousy company, because I'm in a really lousy mood, and this is kind of what's gone on. And then we dropped it, and we continued to just let our friendship elevate. And another friend popped over, and within probably about 40 minutes, We were all laughing hysterically and really having a good time. I'd forgotten about my stress. I was now making jokes about everything that had gone wrong. And I really felt that by surrounding myself with good friends who understand me and accept me for who I am, actually managed just by giving their love and being a part of my world, actually elevated me out of that stress level, out of that grumpy mood, and it ended up being an absolutely fabulous time. So I guess my words of wisdom, at least for myself, is don't become a recluse. Don't feel that for those that are close to you, for your really good friends that know you, let them in. Let them do what they love to do, because we do love to help other people.
Oh, yeah. And that's so true, because when you're stressed and not in a great mood, you do become a recluse, and that's the last mm-hmm. thing you should become.
It just perpetuates it. And I think moving into that space, even though I know when I did it, it was not comfortable for me. And, you know, this little voice in my head was saying, don't bring other people down. Don't bring them into that. But I found that by the time I was faced with these people, I wasn't feeling that stress. I was still feeling grumpy inside, but that quickly dissipated over a matter of an hour or two. And it turned out to be a lovely time. And I was very, very thankful to them. And I actually shared that. I gave that perfect example of, you know, combining more than one of these tools that we talk about. I believe we said try any three of them. And there's a perfect example of where one can actually catapult into the other, and out came gratitude as well.
And it is a matter of you don't have to do them all, but whatever ones resonate with you, as we said, try any three as an example. If you want to try four, there's nothing wrong with that. If you only want to try one or two, that's fine too. But it's a matter of just starting something that feels right to you that will alleviate your stress, worries, and fears.
One more thing I wanted to add with regards to time speeding up. A lot of times we have overcommitted ourselves to a lot of things during the day. Might not be able to do it at that time, but consider simplifying your schedule, taking some of the stuff that you don't need to do out of a busy day can help to bring balance and a sense of calm. It's when we have way, way too much, when we're trying to accomplish it all, that's where the stress levels can really go high. So the idea, of course, would be just to simplify your life and declutter a lot of what got on your plate, and only pay attention to the things that truly are necessary and need to be done on that at that time.
And it's giving yourself the permission to be able to do that too. Ron, you often talk about the release of, you know, having a bubble bath. I know for me, oftentimes I'll pick up some fresh cut flowers and put them in my home and just look at them. And it's doing things that you know will take you from that stress level or that fear level or that upset level to another dimension. And I encourage people to give yourself permission to do that, because you cannot accomplish everything you want to do if you're in a stress state. So you want to remove yourself from that first and foremost.
Okay. So as that brings us to the end of the program, I do hope you all have a fabulous and stress-free week. And as always, I would like to thank our radio network, Law of Attraction Radio Network.
Yes, have a wonderful week, everyone.
Have a great week, folks. Be kind to yourselves.
Thank you for listening to The Sovereign Self. We will be back with another show that will celebrate the beauty and perseverance of you and your sovereign self. If you would like more information or to send questions to Martin, Karen or Ron, please go to their Facebook page, www.facebook.com/sovereignself. See you next week.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.